I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the heart of downtown San Francisco, right off of Union Square. Come along and join me for a conversation with Kirk Pedersen, the president of Sightline Hospitality. And we right now are at your San Francisco mothership, the Axiom.
Yeah, we're at the Axiom Hotel. This being the heart of San Francisco, Axiom meaning the center of next, being a very tech-forward hotel, it seems pretty fitting.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. A little bit about Sightline. It's a hotel management company.
Correct.
And a property management as well.
Correct, yeah.
So you own some of your properties?
No, we are a pure third-party operator. Uh-huh. So we work for owners from New York City to Waikiki.
Wow.
All across the country.
And they make you go to the different places.
I love it, yes. We have to go. Everybody says, do you really have, you know, struggle going to Hawaii?
Right. Yeah.
It isn't as fun as you may think it is when you're sitting in a boardroom looking out
yep.
at the beach all day long as opposed to sitting on the beach. But yeah, it's not a bad gig, Tom.
Yeah. So you have property in the heart of Waikiki.
Correct.
And then on the island of Maui.
Correct, yeah. We operate on Maui and Kauai mm-hmm. and Honolulu. Yeah, we love the Hawaiian Islands. It's kind of in our blood.
Yeah, I have a little bias too. Here we are in San Francisco and I'm getting you to talk about Hawaii already. Hawaii is one of my very favorite places in the world. And you have, from looking from the air, a very exotic property there in Kauai.
We're working on the development or redevelopment of a property there. But yeah, we love the Hawaiian Islands. Right now, our three properties, the Hyatt Place in Waikiki Beach, the Queen Kapi'olani in Waikiki Beach, and the Big Holiday Inn Express. Both the Hyatt Place and the Holiday Inn Express are the largest in their family of hotels. So within the brand, they're the largest hotels in the brand in the world.
And even architecturally, I look in the pictures, the one, it's a skyscraper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 600 rooms on Kalakaua Avenue. it's a monster.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And yet front row center, right?
It is.
Walk across the street to the beach.
Street to the beach. Yeah. Exactly right.
Love it. All right. Let's loop back to San Francisco for a moment. Mm-hmm. I stayed across the street at the Park 55. And the same reason I liked the Park 55, it blew my mind here right across the street, that you're in this little boutique hotel, you walk out front, and you're in the literal heart of downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, my car's gone somewhere.
It's in a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not going to see it for 2 days.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I mean, the Axiom being, it really is the center of next. Mm-hmm. We're right at the cable car turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Literally, you walk out the door, and there is the turnaround.
That's right.
Front row center.
And then everything on Market Street that you could ever want, you know, real easy access to BART, which gets you anywhere in the city you want to go. And I still enjoy taking a run on the Embarcadero in the morning when I'm here because it's just there's no other place in the world like it.
Mm-hmm. It really is very literally unique downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then back to BART. A friend of mine, she's an attorney, lives in the East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, oh, well, we'll come over and take you out to dinner. This was last night.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes later, from the East Bay, she's waiting at the front door.
Yeah.
I'm going, wow. In a lot of ways, San Francisco can be a very doable base camp for anywhere, even North Bay, going up to Napa and whatnot, on public transportation.
I think that's what makes San Francisco such a great city, is your access or proximity to everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
I used to commute from Walnut Creek into the city every day.
Yeah, that's where they are.
And that BART was so easy. I enjoyed it. And you get a little bit of different weather when you start going to the East Bay or North Bay or South Bay, right? San Francisco is this little fog, hub, but you really get warm weather when you go through the mountain ranges.
Yeah, down by San Jose coming upstream yesterday, it was 98 degrees.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't 98 in the city.
No.
So it literally is a paradox in that San Francisco is a major city.
Oh, yeah.
And yet it's one of the most people-friendly cities in America.
I tell you, walking around a bunch this morning, yesterday, this city is back and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the mayor has done just a tremendous job in working to clean up the city. So I'm very impressed, but you're right. It's one of the top five cities in the United States, mm-hmm. and you walk around and feels like a park.
And I know one of the issues is homelessness.
Yeah.
And yet you guys don't have a corner on that market. I mean, it's across America is the same problem.
Yeah, it is a real challenge across the country, mm-hmm. But it's something we can't look away from.
Yep.
And it's something you don't just push under the rug. There's a real problem, and people need help. But yeah, it's every city in the United States right now.
And it's interesting. A lot of things that are of relevance right now are amorphous, ever changing in the moment. And one is our COVID world, mm-hmm. which thankfully we've come out of to a point.
Yeah.
And yet, I know as a management company, you have to be locked and loaded for every eventuality.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing to mitigate the potential for going sideways?
Well, I think you always have to have contingency plans mm-hmm. in place, right? And unfortunately, we've been through downturns before, mm-hmm. and those contingency plans, which gather dust in good times, right. Come back into play when you have challenges. But when you do this every day, Tom, and it is your world, you as an independent management company, you can turn on a dime. Mm-hmm. When you're a larger, more institutional management company, it becomes a little harder. So we take a lot of pride in that, mm-hmm. in that we can be nimble and change very quick. And that's what Sightline's about, right? We're not a huge management company. Mm-hmm. We're a boutique management company. We work for an owner. If an owner needs to get something done fast, we do it fast. That goes right along with what you're saying. This business requires you to change. And not just with downturns, right, but in consumer trends.
That's where it's going to go next. There are some changes in the whole model.
Oh, yeah.
I stayed at an inn in Solvang, and I never met or interacted with a human being.
Yeah. Some people like that. Others can't stand it.
I found it a little eerie. Yeah. Is anybody home?
Yeah, yeah. But big brands like, Airbnb and, the VRBOs or Vrbo, they've, gotten the consumer, accustomed to access to a, lodging facility in that way. Again, some people like it. Some people don't like it.
Well, it's just like the B&B model.
Yeah.
Some people love being hosted and having the family there, and other people, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah. You look at a city center, if you were a corporate traveler, mm-hmm. and you're going to the same place every time, that technology comes in handy. You may not want to talk to somebody because mm-hmm. you know everything.
Right.
You go to some of our suburban assets, even where we have the technology, right? Sightline has spent a lot of time and energy researching and installing technology into mm-hmm. these hotels to keep up with some consumer trends. We get up in Calistoga, we probably get 20% participation in things like automated check-in. At Dr. Wilkinson's in Calistoga Motor Lodge, mm-hmm. because people want that interaction.
Right,
right. Right? They don't want to just check into a resort mm-hmm. where they're going for an experience. They on their phone. They want somebody to talk to.
That human.
Yeah.
I kind of like both. Knowing somebody's there that you can rattle their cage and they'll come out.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have like an iPhone check-in where you mm-hmm. don't have to get the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, last weekend I was with family. We stayed at a Sheraton. I used my key to check in and mm-hmm. never talked to anybody at the desk. And it was really nice, right? Because we took the dog. We just went right to the room and everything was great. But I'll tell you, the participation level there is much lower than you would think if you're not forced into it. If you're forced into it, you don't have a choice.
Right. What you're saying is by choice, a lot of people like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, do they want to download the app and do they want to go on there and figure it out? Mm-hmm. Or do they just want to show up and talk to somebody and get their key and check in? There are two different kinds of guests. And even the younger guest that you would think only wants technology,
right.
We're not seeing that come to fruition. They even want an experience. Everybody wants an experience. And I don't think you can ever replace the human person-to-person contact.
Well, I think intrinsic in the whole experience It's called hospitality.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
So how do you be hospitable if nobody's there?
Yeah. Well, I went over to Citizen M this morning on my walk across town, and yeah, it's a great brand. They've done an unbelievable job with that brand, but it's very, you know, touchless. Mm-hmm. And there is a consumer for it, and they do really well. But it just, it depends what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, the ever-changing landscape in protocol for health and safety and whatnot. And
yeah.
So there definitely, in our world, there is a place for that.
Yes.
And it could be a month from now, you're going to want to have touchless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you notice during the last 2 years, we haven't been providing housekeeping on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. We think about that from an operations perspective, your labor cost went way down.
Right. But then the opposite side of that picture is the poor people that are the maids.
It's exactly
what
right.
happens to them. They're out of work.
Yes.
So yeah. What is
you'd be real surprised, Tom. The housekeeping department is the heart of every hotel, mm-hmm. right? The hardest working department in every hotel.
Yeah.
And across the board, we saw our housekeepers sharing time. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what your seniority was. You gave your friends time. As you know, whatever you could pick up, you picked up. You know, I'm happy to say that occupancies are coming back and all those jobs are coming back, so they're not having to share less time. And all of the brands are going to require housekeeping on a daily basis again, and it's all coming back and those jobs are being restored, so that it is nice to see.
And again, I can't help diverting having years involved as an outsider, an insider in hospitality. Is years ago, I interviewed the head housekeeper at the Huntington. Mm-hmm. And her previous job was at Buckingham Palace.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What's her name? I want to hire her.
I know. Jane something. This was a long time ago. She might have retired by now. Yeah. But she made a great point. She said that housekeeping is the most unsung dynamic of a hotel because their job intentionally is to be out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And the fallout of that is a lot of people don't think to tip the housekeeper because they never had an interaction with them.
Yeah. I was just going the same place in my head and thinking, most people who stay at a hotel, they do not tip their housekeeper.
Right.
Tip your housekeeper, mm-hmm. right? They appreciate it.
$2. I mean, something.
Something.
Yeah.
Something. They are the hardest working people in the hotel.
Yeah. And again, at the Huntington, it was uncanny in that you would leave your room for 10 minutes, you come back and the little toilet paper would have a new arrow folded on it, and yet you never saw anybody come in your room.
Yeah, that's an art.
Yeah, it's
an art. It is an art form that has been lost.
Mm-hmm. And that's just one of the ingredients that you, as a hospitality management company, you're managing real simple, basic stuff on certain levels, you know, outside of the financials and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, at an operations level, it is pretty much, hospitality 101, right? That doesn't change too much. Mm-hmm. What changes is how you attract the consumer.
And retention.
Retention is big, but getting them, I call it the book now war, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's booking online, right? Nobody calls a hotel anymore to book. But you have so many choices, right? And you have pictures, and you have reviews, and you have everything you could ever want to make a decision on where you're going to stay. So if we can, there's that big button, right, online that you move your cursor, and it's book now, book now, book now. Well, if you can win the book now war by doing something to attract that consumer to choose you over somebody else, then you've won. Mm-hmm. You've won on the revenue side of the game. Then you got to get the consumer in and actually treat them well and give them a good experience on property. But it's changed a lot, Tom.
Yeah. And again, like I alluded to, that's one thing to get them, but then to get them to come back.
Yeah.
The properties that are really successful, it's the repeat and return, and they as your best marketing tool to refer you to their friends. If you can do that, you got a home run.
Well, there's brands that help you do that. Mm-hmm. And, so if you were talking about Marriott and all those Marriott miles you have, right? Bonvoy is the largest, right? It's extremely powerful and drives a lot of business into your hotel. When you're an independent hotel, and you don't have that brand engine behind you, it's marketing, it's SEO, it's mm-hmm. all of these things that you're required to do to put heads in beds.
Right, and then just to get to square one, to rise above the fray, so people see you.
Yeah. But it is amazing, right? Because the technology advancements in the last 10 years mm-hmm. have enabled the consumer to make that decision on their own, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have to go to a branded hotel anymore because they know it's going to be, you know, up to standard or mm-hmm. up to par. They can stay in an independent hotel now and feel much more confident booking that room because of all the reviews that are available, because of all the photography that's available. Mm-hmm. You can't hide today at all, right? You are out there. Anything and everything you do is
public. And on top of that, you have Yelp trolls and whatnot that are making your life miserable.
Yeah, TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. Yelp, all of those channels. The consumer, they look at all of those things before mm-hmm. they make a booking decision.
And another, neither here nor there, but fascinating, is we're old enough to remember the travel agent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a game changer.
It is. I would tell you there's still a role for a travel agent. Mm-hmm. And good travel agents are extremely valuable.
But they're like the specialists, right?
Yes.
That's where they come in.
Yeah. And when you want to go to a location that you don't know anything about and you want to put together, you know, a trip that's prepackaged mm-hmm. And you want to make sure you're getting the best rates and the best deal, a travel agent is still a very valuable resource.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've most likely been there before to test the waters on a fan.
That's right. That's right. But it is, there are a lot less today than mm-hmm. than there were even 10 years ago.
Well, even in the airline, Union Square, there was TWA retail, American Airlines, giant storefronts right here, right around the corner.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. Gone. Yeah. Have you seen the TWA hotel
that they opened New York?
In New York? Trying to bring it back.
I know. For years I would fly in and out of there, and I go, oh my God, someday maybe they'll restore it, and they did.
Yeah, it's a neat hotel.
Yeah. Kirk, in the world of hospitality, a buzzword that you hear more and more is experiential travel,
mm-hmm.
and it's multidimensional is how that comes together for the consumer.
Yeah, it's not just a buzzword, it's reality. Mm-hmm. The consumer today wants to feel like they're getting more than just a bed or a place to lay their head. Mm-hmm. They want a true experience, right? It's a buzzword, but it's reality.
Yeah. Because it resonates with the depth of what the people going on vacation want to experience.
That's right. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's Hawaii in Waikiki and showing up like we were talking about earlier and hearing the music, and experiencing a real Mai Tai, not the Mai Tai you get in New York City, but the real Mai Tai, it makes a difference, right? Sitting on the deck at the Queen Kapi'olani and looking at Diamond Head and thinking about the history of that island and the Hawaiian Islands, if you don't get some sort of local feel, right, or connection to where you are, I think we've failed as an operator. If you go to Long Island and stay out at Soundview, our hotel out there in Greenport, you know, we connect you with local wineries. We connect you with a gin distiller who's making gins, and you can make your own gin out there. We connect you with oyster farmers, so you can go and shuck your own oysters and learn how to. That's an experience to me, right? Yeah. You're not just going to sit in a hotel room, right? Mm-hmm. At that same Soundview hotel, we have a cedar hot tub out on the deck of one of the rooms, one of the suites. And it is literally fed by wood, and you have a hot tub concierge who literally has to watch the temperature of the water all day long. Now, you pay for it, but it is a unique experience that's worth paying for. Mm-hmm. We just opened a tribute hotel with Todd English in Las Vegas. And I don't know if you've ever met Todd English. He's an unbelievable chef, even better guy. But to be able to walk into a restaurant and see Todd there, he lives in Vegas now, and he's there. He's in the restaurant. That's a tremendous experience. When you go in the hotel room, you feel a little bit of Todd English in that hotel room. And it's the entire experience that's put together for the guest. It doesn't matter, that hotel is backed by Marriott through the Tribute brand, but it's so independent and the experience is so unique. You know, our goal is to crush the competition because of the experience. Even here in San Francisco, you say, well, how do you create a real experience in a hotel? Yeah, this is a tech forward, you know, hotel, and we have a robot that delivers amenities to the room.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've stayed yet, but when you do, you need to call and get something and have them deliver it to your room. It's really a unique experience.
So the robot comes to your room.
Robot comes to your room, will drop off a drink, or if you need a towel or whatever it is.
How does it knock on your door?
It calls your room.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, so it gets to your door, and it calls the room, and it says, I'm here at your door. And you go to the door, and the tray opens up and delivers whatever it is. And it actually asks you to rate the service of the robot when you're done. Listen, it's a unique concept. Does it save us labor? No, it really doesn't.
But do people love it?
People like it. The kids absolutely adore it, right? Does the corporate guy who wants... No, but... It's an experience, a way to do something different. We operate hotels up in Calistoga, and we have, you know, the world famous Dr. Wilkinson's, you know, Mineral Springs Backyard Resort.
And that goes way back in time to the mud bath era. Right?
It goes way back, but we've completely redone mud baths. If you're willing to do it, I got to get you up there to get in a mud bath. But it is an experience that you will never have anywhere else in your life.
Wow.
But that's what we love to do. We absolutely love it. And again, it doesn't matter whether you're city center or Napa Valley or Hawaii, or, you know, we're opening a new hotel in a month in New York City, and it's in Little Dominica. And there will, it's called the Radio Hotel. There will be a live Dominican radio broadcast from the lobby of the hotel.
How cool.
There will be all of the F&B. It's very folk. Richard Sandoval's doing all the F&B. It's going to be very, you know, focused on the community. That's an experience.
So that being said, it was Kimpton that really changed the model in hospitality.
Yeah.
And he predicated his model on having an on-site, cool, trendy restaurant.
That's right. That's right.
Therein lies the genesis of Post-Trio.
Yeah, which is so counter to what we thought in the hotel business, you know, in the early 2000s. Nobody wanted F&B because you couldn't make money in F&B.
Yeah.
But yes, Kimpton changed that.
But even if it's a lost leader, it's driving people to stay at your property.
Yeah, it drives the experience, and the room rate is really where you make money in the hotel business.
But back to New York City, what you're implying here is an on-site, cool, trendy, ethnic restaurant.
Absolutely.
That gives you an experience you probably won't find anywhere else
Absolutely.
In the city.
But it's, again, it's geared towards the neighborhood that it sits in, right, to pay tribute or homage or whatever you want to call it to that neighborhood and the people who made that neighborhood what it is. If I'm going to go stay there, I should get a little bit of that feeling, right, when I'm there. I should get some of that that little, music in me, right?
A little salsa and merengue.
It's exactly right. That's exactly right. And again, if we haven't done that, Tom, I feel like we've failed as an operator.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I imagine there are more projects like that in your brain and on the drawing boards going forward.
Every day. I told you earlier, I wake up thinking about hotels, I go to sleep thinking about hotels, but it's really how, yeah, it goes back to my, you know, original desire to be in the hotel space, right? It's making people happy, and what makes people happy and puts a smile on their face is what I go to sleep thinking about, and that's experiences right now, right? Some people may get really happy about paying a lower rate. Most people don't. Most people get really happy about the experience, and then the rate is justified.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and there's two kind of realities of staying at a hotel. One is a budget hotel where it's all driven by where can I get the cheapest place to spend the night.
Yeah.
And then again, the other side of the coin, what you were talking about earlier, that experiential, where you knowingly and gladly pay a premium for that multi-dimensional experience driven hotel stay.
I think, you know, people are really looking for it. We just opened a hotel in Salt Lake City, which is Evo Campus. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Evo. They're one of the leading retailers. I'll say the leading retailer in outdoor experiential gear, right? Mm-hmm. So everything from bikes to kayaks to hiking gear, climbing gear, mm-hmm. Wakeboards, surfboards, you name it, outdoor enthusiast, you know, driven brand. They were a retailer. They're now in the hotel space. And you go to Evo Salt Lake City, and there's a rock gym, a bouldering gym.
Right there in the middle of the
there's
hotel.
There's a skate park mm-hmm. in the hotel, mixed with F&B and mixed with a destination Evo retail store at the center of the national parks in the United States. It's unbelievable. That is a real experience, right? I'm headed out there next weekend for a bouldering and skate, you know, mm-hmm. thing that we're doing with the owners there.
And that's one of your management company hotels?
Yeah. And so Evo really wanted to get into the hotel mm-hmm. space. We worked with them for 2 years developing this concept and so just opened their first one.
So the flag that you see is Evo?
It's Evo.
It's not Sightline.
That's right. Sightline is a B2B brand, mm-hmm. right?
So you're behind the scenes.
That's right. We work for the owner and we work to develop new concepts for owners. So when Evo said they wanted to do hotels, it's an Evo hotel. Mm-hmm. It's not a Sightline hotel, right? Sightline is the pure, you know,
the brains behind the machinery.
You got it.
Interesting.
You got it, yeah.
Let's talk for a moment about an amorphous subject, which is the future of travel and hospitality.
Yeah, everybody wants to know what the future is, right? I wish I had the crystal ball. Yeah. Right now, I feel like the eight ball is about all I've got. Yeah. If you just take a step back and look at the last two decades, right? I don't think anyone would ever have imagined we'd be where we are in hospitality today. Mm-hmm. That gives me a lot of hope for the next two decades. You talk about space travel. It's there. Mm-hmm. Do I want to be the first management company to operate something in space? Sign me up, Tom. I would love to do that. Do I think it's a reality? I do.
Remember 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Yes.
I think it was Hilton that went in. Outer space first.
Well, if Hilton wants a third-party manager, we'll be right there doing it for him. But I think that's experiential, Tom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, biometrics and automated check-ins and all of these things, mm-hmm. I think they play a role in hospitality going forward, and they play a role in a lot of other consumer-facing brands, right? Who knows where that goes. But I do think, you know, it'd be naive of us to think that we aren't going to continue growing and changing mm-hmm. in our world like we have over the last two decades.
Again, I know it's crystal ball time, but looking forward even in the short-term future, any hunches, any guesses of how things are going to shift or transform?
Well, I think you've already seen this big shift to more do-it-yourself. Right, the access to information that the consumer has doesn't require the hotel operator in many circumstances to provide as much information because the consumer wants to figure it out on their own. So it's really setting the consumer up for success, right? And using technology to do that.
Success relative to a successful
to their trip,
stay.
Their plan, right? It doesn't matter, you know, what experience you're going into a certain market for. You have so much information at your fingertips. But if we as operators can make those experiences easy to get access to mm-hmm. or more unique than the mainstream, mm-hmm. then again, I think we have won. So figuring out how to use technology to do that mm-hmm. Is going to be, it's a challenge, but I think it's something you'll see even more and more. We did a white paper on a hotel concept a couple years ago that literally city center, 200 square foot room, but you lined the walls with monitors.
Oh, wow.
And then through virtual reality, you could place yourself anywhere you wanted to place yourself in that room. So even if you were sitting in Manhattan, uh-huh. but you really wanted to be in Turks and Caicos, You could surround yourself with Turks and Caicos.
That's right. That's
that would
that's
be fun.
That's real.
That's an experience. It's not really. I haven't seen anybody do it. I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it. But I think you're going to see more technology like that creating experiences for people. Listen, virtual reality is a big deal, right? And through the pandemic, people use virtual reality to get people out to where they couldn't go. Right. I think now we're using that virtual reality to inspire consumers to travel again so that they get a little piece of it through virtual reality. But then they want to go and experience it in person. Right. And not virtually.
That's so cool. OK. Parting thought before we go. Any parting thoughts?
I don't think, you know, this would be complete without saying how excited we are that the world is turning, right? The last 2 years have been tough, Tom. And there is so many, there are so many great, you know, positive things happening right now. All these cities are coming back. I read an article the other day that people are projecting that we will exceed performance in the hotel business, which 2019 was a peak. We'll exceed that next year.
Do you think part of it's pent-up demand?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's so much pent-up demand. So, number one, we're extremely excited about that. We're getting people back to work. You know, the company feels like Sightline again, right? We're out doing what we want to be doing, and we have some really unique projects that are in the pipeline. We're getting ready to open a resort in Joshua Tree that is made out of containers.
Wow.
But these aren't just your ordinary containers. There are projects like that that are coming on the horizon that are just going to be so experiential and just knock the cover off the ball. And I'm excited about that.
That's really cool. To learn more about the world of Sightline Hospitality, do you have a go-to website?
Yeah, sightlinehospitality.com. It's pretty easy.
That is.
Or you can just email me, which is easy to find as well. Yeah.
Kirk Pedersen, thank you so much. What a great morning.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure being here and great meeting you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Axiom Hotel in the heart of San Francisco, right off of Union Square.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.